I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So it seems longer is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because you look at him and you go, that's like an old fisherman.
Well,
and he's been doing this since 1940.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But he's only 38.
Perhaps you could take advice from his older brother, Luke Littler. I hear mariachi static on my radio, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Rooney's been sacked and Gigi Buffon wants bigger goals. It's Wednesday, 3rd of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Eddie Russell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Welcome, one and all, to a wonderful Wednesday here at the Football Ramble. Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Ben Stanley. That's the Ben Stanley, you know.
It is, yeah.
Big on Twitter.
B-Stan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a clever historian man.
Is he?
I believe so.
Is that what they call him?
That's the vibe.
All the big universities.
That's the vibe he gives me on Twitter.
What's your job title? Clever historian man.
No further questions.
No, carry on. You must know what you're talking about.
I'm listening to you, Ben.
Yes, he knows the timeline.
He does. That was today's intro line. So you can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble, where you can rub
shoulders.
Well, I have electronic
backs.
Shoulders. What would you sort of?
I just shoulders.
Just shoulders.
It's a metaphor, so crucially, it doesn't need to be literal.
Everything I say is literal. So you need to remember that for the rest of this podcast. but you will rub shoulders with the likes of Mr. Stanley
and me. Other I'm always
fine, and other fine people, and Luke as well.
Yeah. Don't let that put you off.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Some shoulders are not there to be rubbed.
Well, I'm not as dominant on Discord as I am here because I like the Discorders. I feel like I don't have to knock them into shape like I do with you lot.
So. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's an early one.
Yeah, okay.
Well, West Ham 0, Brighton 0 wasn't quite the match that we wanted. After having a little Monday night treat with Liverpool and Newcastle.
That was a treat.
It really was.
It's very difficult to replicate that. It was after the Lord Mayor show at the London Stadium, wasn't it?
It was a little bit. Although, Brighton got a clean sheet, which is a bit of a spectacle. Yeah. Roberto De Zerbi certainly seemed to think so. He said, we made a clean sheet, so you, the media, are happy because Brighton made a clean sheet. And the media
We're really not.
Yeah. The way he said it is like he's a kid potty training. I've made a poo. I've made a poo on the floor.
Yeah, but it was a rare clean sheet for Brighton. Vish, so they'll be happy about that, but they wanted those 3 points and they perhaps should have got them.
They did. I thought West Ham did a passable job of kind of shifting them out wide instead of letting Brighton play through them. And then they totally abandoned that in the second half and thought, well, they might just miss all their chances. And they did, which worked out.
Ariola, you know, will save them.
Yeah.
Imagine that was on the tactics board at halftime. Boys just written it on the flip chart. Consider this, they might miss every single chance they get.
Call their bluff.
Yeah. And if they do shoot, if they shoot straight at our goalkeeper.
Which they did a lot.
Yeah. Although, you know, Ariola made a few good saves at the end there. You know, sometimes you look at a game and you think, this would be an interesting clash of styles. And actually, much in the way that when people say it's a kick clash, it's not.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, that's not actually what's taking place there. It's more that they match. This felt like, you know, certainly this opened my eyes to the fact that actually when teams have a similar style and play against each other, that's fun. Ooh. When they clash in this way, it's not fun because they don't really interlock. At no point were West Ham trying to break against Brighton when they won the ball deep. And at every single point that when Brighton were breaking, West Ham had at least six players back.
But they
didn't quite match up into a back and forth entertaining game.
That's true. But I guess West Ham were limited in their ability to do that.
Yes.
Like, if you haven't got the passing of Paquetá, it makes an enormous difference.
Or Kudus.
If you haven't got
Kudus,
it makes you take those two players out of pretty much any team, and it's really tough. And the replacements came in Fornals and Saïd Benrahma and looked really ponderous and did a really bad job as well.
I thought Benrahma was okay.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling
it. And I think you got the combination with Paquetá of these really incisive passes, this really clever play, this technical brilliance, and you've got this like kinetic positivity of Kudus that really complements that. You're right to point that out. I just thought that it was maybe a little bit of another example of how the fan base are really divided on David Moyes, despite the fact that West Ham are being historically pretty impressive in terms of results.
I went to this game and I certainly felt that in the stadium because...
What was it like? What was the atmosphere? 62,000 there. That's a big old crowd.
It is a big crowd.
And a lot of people left early. And I think...
Were you one of the boo boys, Andy?
No, absolutely not.
Did you go and leave home early to have a three-in-the-bed romp or some nookie, or some nookie after being a boo boy at the London Stadium?
There's kids outside, are you?
It's a show for adults. It's fine.
It is, yeah.
Absolutely.
People say this show's a family show. Fuck them.
Yeah. It's not. What would it take to get Andy to boo something?
Yeah, Andy's the most positive bloke in the world.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm always goading him.
Other than Barry Cryer, according to your stories before.
Barry, it's Andy and Barry Cryer. Andy, but seriously though, were the fan base, did you walk into that stadium and go, wow, this is a divided fan base?
Mm. What I did think is a little bit in common with the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's...
They won't like that. It's very difficult.
But it's similar in a way, A, in terms of capacity, and B, in terms of it's difficult to get an atmosphere and to keep it up.
Yeah, okay.
Throughout the whole 90. Mm. I mean, it's funny, when you talk to players, or when you talked to players, overseas players who come and play here, like 10 years ago, they'd say, why did you come and play in the Premier League? And of course, they never said the money. They said, oh, the atmosphere's here, the intensity. I don't think players do say that about the atmosphere in the
Premier League.
They
also said they want to affect social change from within.
Yeah, exactly.
They understand if you don't agree with it, but actually they can make a positive influence.
Yeah.
And I felt that, like, when West Ham weren't able to come out of the traps quickly, the atmosphere gets quite flat quite quickly. And you see that, you do see that at Tottenham as well. I mean, even on those big European nights last season, you know, they were roaring for kickoff. And then when it didn't happen immediately, which it normally didn't under Antonio Conte, it all sort of flattens out.
So I think both those things have got in common is that it's a symbolic of the football that's being played, perhaps, because I think it's been a lot better at Spurs recently, obviously, for all the obvious reasons.
Well, it has been. I mean, the 100%. Obvious example being that Chelsea game where they got beat and the atmosphere was incredible.
I could notice the difference.
It was Pompey at home to Arsenal-esque.
Or Pompey at home to AC Milan, maybe.
I was more thinking that when Pompey got gubbed by Arsenal, Thierry Henry...
I found that whole thing quite patronising.
Thierry Henry said, look, these little
slugs.
So-and-so slugs.
He said South Coast slugs.
Yeah, he did,
That's a direct quote.
That's true. Yeah. It just well he never said snails because he might have dipped you in garlic and eaten you. But he said these.
Let's get Brexit done. Are we getting it done or what? Come on. I wouldn't have any foreign players in the league. I told you that.
Well, you said they came in to make change. No, this country's got worse in the last 10 years. So you're worse, literally blaming them.
I didn't realise so many of them were slagging us off behind our back to Andy.
Yeah, I know.
Not as good as it was. Well, get out then.
Yeah.
He speaks their language.
Go back to your own farmers' league.
He knows the continent. He does know the continent.
He does. Well, Andy, look, David.
What are we talking about?
David Moyes is set to sign a new 2.5-year contract.
This is interesting.
After a bit of speculation about his future, of course, his deal runs until the end of the season. He did say in December that he'd be willing to manage without a contract. I don't know whether that's possible or not, but we understand.
David Brent rocking up.
You don't have a contract. That guy's the manager. Yeah, but I still want to be the manager. So he's put pen to paper, or he's set to put pen to paper, as they say. I mean, that long ago, of course, Declan Rice said he's the greatest manager of West Ham they've ever had.
Yeah, I think the adrenaline was pumping quite heavy at the time.
It was on the pitch.
Holding a trophy.
Yeah, minutes after. But obviously delivers that. This season they've improved a lot since last season.
Well, can I have a run up at this?
Please.
I think it's interesting. I think it's a really interesting topic.
I'm a Moyes in man.
Because that's good to know. You've nailed your colours to the mast and the Moyes sire will thank you for it. As he's taking you across on the ferry boat to wherever it is you're going.
Hang on, is he the Moyes sire or is he the ferry boat?
Wait, that's the point. That's the crux of the argument.
And
see?
There it is.
So
one's guarding one door, and one's guarding, and you have one. You can only ask them one question.
And one can only tell the truth, and one can only lie.
Yeah.
Are you going to play Pakatar today?
Yeah. Are we going to defend or attack?
So what I would say is that historically, they're doing very, very well as we sit here now, off the back of a European trophy not that long ago. I think they're sixth in the table.
You can call it the Conference League.
Well, it's a European trophy.
I know.
Okay, the Europa Conference League.
Right.
Okay, I don't like Sanex. It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Okay.
And they sit, I think, at time of recording sixth in the table. That's good. Without being dismissive and patronising of West Ham, that is good.
It is.
And they've played Brighton at home. It was a bit of a stinker of a game. Fair enough.
But they got a point.
And they got a point against another good team. But I think what happened last night, set into the context of what the contract negotiations have been about, is this idea of the fan base, this idea of what are West Ham actually all about? And if you look at how other clubs, the size of West Ham, perhaps a bit smaller, say, for example, Crystal Palace, also in London, who wanted to do something more progressive, who perhaps thought with the attacking players they had coming through, they could play a better type of football. They went for someone else. Obviously, didn't work in their case, and they decided eventually that it didn't work, and they went back to our boy Roy. That's the crux of the argument here about David Moyes. There's a feeling among the West Ham fans that despite people who are, only glancing at West Ham in passing like we perhaps do or only go to the odd game, that, they've never had it so good. So what are they complaining about? I think there's a feeling that every single time you go to a game, they play the same way. They play in a kind of fairly negative counter-attack fashion. There's a feeling among the fan base that with the attacking players they've spent money on to sign, they could perhaps play a better type of football. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, they're not necessarily that bowled over by the prospect of having another 2 or 3 years of this. Now, that may sound ungrateful, and perhaps it is. I don't know. I'm not a West Ham fan. But I do think there's something in that. I do think that, if they want to play football in a certain way and they want to be excited, and they would perhaps rather be up and down or be a bit more entertained but not have the success, that's kind of up to them.
I guess the difference is they've kind of tried this before, because when Moyes went the first time, they brought in Pellegrini. They gave him a huge budget.
The engineer, one of the great management nicknames.
And they needed and they needed Moyes to come in and pull them out of the shit. And not only that, they needed him to do what I think has been quite unrecognised, because we have an idea of David Moyes and this is what he does. He does quite sober, will get you results to a certain level, et cetera, et cetera. I think it can easily be overlooked. The value he's brought on every level, actually, for most of his second spell at West Ham, because there are a lot of big signings. It was just hopeless, really. And he has managed to make those signings into serviceable players, which I think is really, really
impressive. I think that's an excellent point.
He's an authentic coach.
And totally.
On the other hand, people have kind of glossed over the fact, because it's the end of the year, people have gone, oh, it's been an amazing 2023 for West Ham. Go back to spring, he wasn't far from getting the push. And, you know, the fact that they won that European trophy, and you talked about Declan Rice going, oh, my God, he's the greatest manager ever. And, you know, John Lyle and Ron Greenwood are sort of lingering in the background. And you think, well, hang on, they won a cup competition that they should have won anyway. No,
and he's always about it. Yeah, because the budgets and stuff.
Yeah, of course. They've got a far greater budget than anyone else in the competition. They did have a lot of good players. They massively underachieved in the Premier League
definitely.
Last season.
That's totally, that's and obscured you, that. That's obscured
you,
that for
and,
sure.
Yeah, and you could say as well, they're sixth at the moment. They are sixth in a very tight league. So I think they could easily be 10th in a week.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, but what you've said there is, oh yeah, they won a trophy, but oh yeah, so what? They're currently
sixth.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying there's balance and nuance, and everyone's choosing to ignore it.
That's Marcus. That's fair.
Yeah.
And okay, but they could be 10th, but they're not. They're
so
sixth.
You're either in or you're out.
Well, they should have won the tournament. They did. They could be 10th.
That's also true.
And they could be sixth. They are.
Here's one for you. A friend of mine who works in football is a West Ham fan. I asked him about this. And I don't want to. I'm not going to name him because I don't want to compromise him. But he said that, you know, on balance, I would stick with Moyes. Three successive years in Europe plus a trophy win has never happened in my lifetime. So I find it hard not to be happy with what he's achieved. But I rarely go to the games these days, and when I do or watch on telly, it isn't much fun because having to sit through 90 minutes of defending can be really grueling. When we play teams that we should dominate, we often look a little bit clueless on the ball. It seems he only really knows how to play effectively the counter-attacking style. So a lot of, whether we like it or not, whether we want to sit here and talk about winning things and positions in the league, that's all important.
Yeah.
But what's also important is the relationship between a fan and the club. Yeah. And if you don't want to go anymore, you find yourself not wanting to go. I think you're within your rights given you pay your money.
If the fans are sat there, really expressing with their voices or non-voices that this is a bit
true, but you did say there were 62,000 there last night.
Yeah,
so it can't be everybody.
Not
Brighton
fans.
I mean, I suppose the nuance might be is that it's set to sign a new 2.5-year contract. Now there'll be clauses in that, as we know, and so on. But if,
there won't be this time around because he's been burned by that before.
Right. Okay.
Which is why they were able to bid him off when he came and rescued them for that half season.
Yeah.
And why when he came back, he made sure that actually, if he was coming back, that he would have a, if not a payoff, then also a clause in that. So I think he's been burned by West Ham before. So I don't think any of those clauses will be part of it.
What do you think about the whole thing, Vish? What's your take?
Well, the fact that it's only 2.5 years is quite telling in itself, because it does actually mean that if they do decide to bin him off early, they're not paying as much for that as they would if he was on, you know, a longer term. You actually touched on the point that I was going to make, actually, because this was originally an internal conversation within the fan base that then essentially got out into wider consumption, which is why we're talking about it now, where a lot of the context was stripped away from it. Because, as Andy said, there were periods last season when they were considering getting rid of him. There was a lot of anger among West Ham fans because it felt like he wasn't, you know, making good on this. And even when they won the Europa Conference League, there was a sentiment during the summer that actually, if he left now, maybe that'd be better for everyone.
Well,
I actually said that.
I was like, it'll never get as
good. It'd be a great way to go. My take on it is that, like, I can see where West Ham fans are coming from. I think it's dangerous for people. Not dangerous, actually. That's probably putting too strong a point on it. But I think I would never want to tell a fan who goes week in, week out what they should and shouldn't be grateful for.
Absolutely. And
the whole point of football is going to it and being entertained, and if you feel that he's not holding up that side of the deal, then you're well within your rights to think of other things and what could be different. Well, because there's also a situation here where if you look at the number of teams around West Ham now, there is an element of danger that they might lose this footing, because they're not on solid ground just yet. They're not an established top six club just yet. And to get there, they need something a bit more concrete. Now, Moyes could bring it to them, but I can understand why they doubt that would be the case.
And that this game in particular, if we're going to bring it back to this, I mean, you think without Paquetá and Kudus, it could be a long month. And I think you look on the other side about what Brighton were able to do. Brighton have got a shitload of injuries. They've got less resources. They've got players missing at the moment. And yet they managed to find a way to get themselves in the position to win the game. Of course, they didn't quite get it over the line, but they were the team that looked like winning that game in the last half hour. And overall, I think you can say the game was a great advert for why you should have a winter break. it was terrible, really. And
I don't know, Andy, because James Milner, the oldest man in England currently, yeah. was running around like Billy-O, wasn't he?
He's about
good
to,
for him. He doesn't need a break at all. Made his 632nd Premier League appearance, meaning he's now level with the now disgraced Ryan Giggs.
I was trying to save you from that.
Yeah.
Ryan Giggs, you wouldn't have it, would you?
Ryan Giggs isn't. But the way you said that, and we shouldn't make light of that, you know, no. that particular issue. But the way no. you said that was that, like, people have looked back on his career and gone, nah. I'm yeah. giving him half of those appearances. Actually, looking back on it, it's not as good as it was.
All that's in front of James Milner now is Gareth Barry.
Yeah,
and his 38th birthday tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that Milner gets up towards Gareth Barry and you see a little loan for Barry come back. I wouldn't be surprised if he pops up at Sheffield United or something.
There we are, you see. Yeah.
Where do you want to play, Gareth? Box to box. Well, you can't still play box to box.
The league, presumably, have lost quite a lot of money since Gareth Barry retired, because, I mean, all the money they used to get from those yellow cards.
I know, yeah.
My goodness.
I think he got sent off. This is a bit true for you. People can look this up, but I can't remember quite if it's true or not.
Are you sure you want to proceed with this?
I think Gareth Barry got sent off in the first Pompey Premier League game.
Oh, Gordon.
I think he got sent off in that. Yeah. There you go.
And everyone applauded him, including Thierry Henry.
Yeah, they put a Pompey shirt on him. Well, what a legend.
Yeah, true.
Pathetic.
Okay, then. Well, Moyes is very much still in a job. Wayne Rooney is not in a job.
Are you linking him with the West Ham job?
Well.
Has he passed the interview phase at Birmingham?
Surely. I know, I'm linking Moyes to Birmingham City.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney sacked as Birmingham City manager yesterday, just after we finished recording. 83 days in charge. He took the club from 6th to 20th, which is not good in anyone's book.
I think statistically, he'd lost 1.13 positions per week he was in the job.
Yeah, it's Liz Truss-esque.
It really is. I mean, he's the Liz Truss of football management, isn't it?
Well, that's Sam Allardyce on an England level, is that?
This is the Football League version. I got a load of tweets from people.
Oh, no, there's got to be someone. Like Frank de Boer at Palace, although that was in the Premier League, to be fair.
Yeah, and that was 7 defeats out of 7, right? And no goals, I think. Oh. Anyway, can I just say that when this news broke, I got a load of tweets from people saying, along the lines of, oh great, I'm a Birmingham fan and I love that you don't talk about Birmingham on the Ramble. Yeah. It's part of escapism for me. Now we're going to get a massive Mitch. Yeah.
It's the old classic, what's good for the Ramble is not what's good for your club.
No,
that is true, yeah. The longest serving side in the Championship, Birmingham City.
Are they really? That's a nice bit of
trivia. So, according to The Athletic. So Rooney's gone. I mean, it was... We remember when he got the job. Obviously, John Eustace was relieved of his duties despite being a popular figure at the club and having done pretty damn well at Birmingham City, considering everything, of course. And I mean, it was a surprise, wasn't it, that Eustace was fired?
No, it wasn't. Was it a surprise that Gary Cook made a grand sweeping gesture that has turned out to be an absolute disaster?
So Andy's name dropped him first.
Did he not turn up for Christmas or something, Andy?
Gary Cook, yes. Those who are long-time listeners of the Football Ramble will remember Gary Cook when he was when we used to enjoy giving you Gary Cook updates when he was Manchester City CEO. He's also, isn't he the president of Saudi Arabian
CEO,
football?
CEO, yeah.
So he loves the CEO role.
The thing to remember with Gary Cook, 2 R's, 2 jobs.
Yeah.
2 O's.
Yeah, 2 O's as well.
Otherwise you'd be Gary Cock.
Never has a man been better groomed for a job on the FIFA Exco at some point. Just the worst bloke. Like, I don't know him personally, I've never met him, got the desire to meet him. Just the kind of bloke you think you should not be anywhere near football in any way.
You described his jib as woeful.
Terrible jib. Yeah. And actually, do you know what? You could probably discuss that through the lens of how John Eustace was treated, right? John Eustace comes through as a man, obviously he was a player as well, as a manager at Kidderminster Harriers. By all accounts, obviously, I didn't watch Kidderminster Harriers play in the National League at that time because, you know, I'm sure no one in this room did. But I think he reached the playoffs with them, had them playing good football. Mm-hmm. He then got treated pretty shoddily at QPR. Right. He was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Caretaker there for a while, did okay from, I don't actually fully remember, but then he got kind of moved into an assistant position. Then he left when Michael Beale came in. Then he gets the job at Birmingham off the back of Lee Bowyer leaving and actually does pretty well. I mean, in the position they did
remarkably well.
Yeah, and then Gary Cook comes in because he wants to hire Wayne Rooney just because I guess it's a...
No, because he wants to play And I quote, no fear football.
Well, that's the thing. He's, never has a
what
statement,
does that mean?
Never has a statement been more designed and written to give you a ready-made straw man excuse to get rid of a manager that you didn't want anymore because you won a higher Wayne
Rooney. By the way, if no one's convinced, by the way, with what we're saying about Gary Cook, let me just say this. He once welcomed Uwe Rosler to the stage when it was Manchester City in Hall of Fame. Mm. And he announced the induction of Uwe Rosler into the Manchester United Hall of Fame. He made that error.
This is what he said when he sacked John Eustace, or the people around him sacked him, said, the importance of the board of directors and management to being fully aligned on the culture of the football club is the reason behind this decision. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything.
No fear football.
That's so obnoxious.
And it's not, let me be clear, it's not Wayne Rooney's fault. Mm. You know, Wayne Rooney applies for a job, or you know, gets a contact and gets into a job and takes the job. I don't think there's necessarily anything to say or to have anything to have pointed that it would have been this bad under Rooney. I think it has been terrible, but Rooney has got some stuff in his management career so far to credit him
a bit.
Well,
I think we're not sure, quite frankly.
I think he did a pretty good job under difficult circumstances at Derby. Galvanised the team, all accounts.
Yeah, despite what some people may think, I don't think it's unreasonable to give Rooney a job at a championship
that level,
club.
Everyone was talking about how great he was with the group of players at Derby, the man management skills, how people related to him.
His goal reel.
He would do a little thing in the Derby County in-house cinema where he'd show like a compilation of his goals and terrible tackles.
Who said it was off the shin?
Yeah. Lights on, stop it. Who said that? Who have you said? Come and look at my shin.
Yeah, right.
You want a closer look at my shin, do you? Fucking.
But it is. It's funny because Rooney, obviously, in his he made a statement, didn't he, when he left? He wished the club all the best and so on. But he did say that wasn't enough time to kind of really sort of stamp his authority.
And his son did similar on Instagram, didn't he?
Yeah, that's been released.
His son released a voice. Well, his son did.
He didn't release it.
His son,
he's been stitched up there.
His son recorded a voice note on a private WhatsApp chat, which then got released. And, he's defending his dad, as you would be. I haven't actually listened to it.
What I think, though, is this isn't really about Eustace or Rooney, is it? It's maybe not about Gary Cook, because if you go back, well, not totally about Gary Cook, because if you go back, Birmingham have done this before, didn't they? When they dumped Gary Rowett when they were on the brink of the playoffs, appointed Gianfranco Zola to do the grand gesture all over again. He won 2 out of 22 and ended up quitting.
Yeah.
So you really think they would have known a little bit better. But I think, they came in such a blaze of publicity. And I would say even like experienced football people, like broadcasters and stuff, were like, oh, wow, it's Tom Brady. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of me with Tom Brady on the touchline at St. Andrews. I can understand that. But you have to be a little bit more critical, don't you? Because Birmingham fans have been through all sorts of heartache in terms of ownership over the last decade and a half, two decades. And there's still, I think, a little bit of a lack of clarity here. Because, of course, when they came in, the Shelby group, they didn't pick up the whole 100%, did they, of the shareholding. There's still, 55% that belongs to the previous owners. Now, they've come out and they've said, oh, that's fine. We're all in control. But is it fine? We need to know it's fine, don't we? We need some actual proof that it's fine.
It doesn't. But the whole thing doesn't bode well. I mean, what are they going to do now? What are they going to do next? I mean, no one knows.
Even Rooney's statement when he says, and this was quite unique, I thought. He said it will take me some time to get over this setback.
Yeah.
Is obviously quite interesting because he was clearly under the impression he had more time.
Yeah.
Then again, you look at the circumstances around how he got the job in the first place, and.
Dance the devil, the music will stop.
Well, as Luke was saying just before, it just doesn't bode well, full stop, if they're going to be this trigger happy. Even in the first place, the Eustace thing was actually, that was the alarm, really,
wasn't it? Yeah,
when they just thought, right, actually, we're going right here, we're sixth. Mm-hmm. But we could do with someone who's banged in a lot of goals.
I mean, look, it's not
Manchester United.
It smacks of someone's going to raise their profile in other markets. Yeah.
Exactly,
it's not the first time we've seen owners do this, of course.
No.
And
the first time this season.
No, exactly. And sometimes
it's probably the first time it's been this stark, really.
Perhaps,
83
yeah.
days, yeah?
Yeah.
And the drop in position and the manner of this sacking, and now this job is not attractive.
No, it's
not. To anyone worth their salt, it's not attractive.
Then we'll have to go back to John Eustace.
Someone like John Eustace,
yeah. But do you know what I mean? That's... probably it, isn't it? Quite frankly, unless they offer all the riches.
John
the world,
Eustace is going to be like, this is going to cost you,
yeah,
big time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How many Super Bowl rings has he got?
I'll have one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, Rooney, some journalists are saying, you know, he needs to take a break. You know, he's been in football for so long now, and he's just been working.
Well, that's the other bit of it. Rooney's statement. I've been involved in professional football as either a player or manager since I was 16.
Which is incredible.
He's 38 now. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It is. It absolutely is.
He's worth pointing out, he does look quite a lot older than that.
He does, yeah.
So it seems longer is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because you look at him and you go, that's like an old fisherman.
Well,
and he's been doing this since 1940.
Yeah.
But he's only 38.
Perhaps you could take advice from his older brother, Luke Littler.
Always nice to have a Luke in there.
Exactly. Well, yeah. You're our very own Luke the Nuke, of course, aren't you?
Two Lukes in the final tonight, by the way.
How about that?
And here's one for you. Luke Littler, you're going to bring him up. Mm. I had this in my locker in case you did bring him up.
Yeah.
Guess what artist he walks onto?
Oh, come on.
It's Pitbull.
Ah!
He walks onto Pitbull.
Have you got a shirt with your name on the back for when you walk in the front room?
That's too tight to me. It shows off my muffin top. Yeah.
He's looked like puke, though. But there we are. Yeah, so Birmingham, they're in a mess. No doubt Gary Cook will sort it out, though. Best man for the job.
Yeah.
But Wayne Rooney, let's hope he takes a rest. And hope he comes back because, of course, you know, another one of the golden generation, of course, from that England period, that you know, hasn't quite done it really at a coaching level as well.
Fizzer, Phil Neville.
But yes, Phil Neville.
Well, Phil, the thing is, Phil Neville, Fizzer,
was another one.
It's nice to have that in there. You just push a little button and all these things come out. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Show some fucking respect.
Sorry, mate.
That's all right.
What was your question again?
On the golden generation, I don't know if this was genuine, but someone on X, threw out Frank Lampard as a potential appointment for Birmingham.
I know he's been linked.
He's in the mix. Sorry. Also, does Phil Neville count as a golden generation player now?
Show some.
Sorry.
I mean, the funny thing is with that, a lot of coaches. Actually, Lampard at Derby. Maybe Derby is the key. Rooney did pretty well at Derby.
Well, they're in pockets, aren't they? There's Rooney at Derby. There is... Gerrard at Rangers, yeah. And also Lampard as... this is a bit too specific, but the way he worked with Alex Iwobi at Everton, Iwobi speaks quite fondly of that, like the positional change, playing more in the middle.
They've obviously got
There are different things in there, but it's just they get promoted too quickly.
Perhaps that's what it is.
It's also worth bearing in mind that Gerrard started his career as a youth coach at Liverpool and then got offered the Rangers job and did well there when perhaps actually, as with a lot of these managers, they just need to start a bit lower down. Earn their crust as managers.
Well, he probably looks back at it now and thinks, should have stayed at Rangers a bit longer, maybe.
Perhaps this is not the time for this conversation, but did he actually do that well at Rangers?
Yeah, well,
Someone was saying on the Discord, if you look at it, he won one out of 12 available trophies in the time there at Rangers.
Yes.
Rangers.
Yeah, no,
they were coming from, I think
COVID as well, I suppose, wasn't there at
the time? Also, as well, Celtic were on for 10 in a row, which was the record, and he stopped that. So the pressure on him was immense that season, and he did it in unbeaten. And also in Europe, they did all right. I know Van Bronckhorst came in a bit better, but I'm just saying that was where he was coming.
My take on the golden generation thing, just if we've got time to briefly get stuck into it, is just that I think these players and the profile they've got are in such a weird position. They're in such a rarefied kind of atmosphere where I don't know how many owners have the size of personality and have the experience to deal with the exposure and the pressure that comes along with it. I think sometimes these ex-players get a bit confused as to what they can do as coaches and what they can't because they were such good players. It's a completely different discipline, of course. You could argue that, you know, there's a coach like Jose Mourinho who's won a lot and never really played, but you've got Zidane over this side who's done everything as a player and a manager. I think to me, there's so many different examples of both of those things that it just really says to me that being a top level manager is its own discipline in itself, and you're going to get out of it what you put into it, and it requires things such as intelligence and quite a lot of unglamorous work that perhaps
man management as well.
Players aren't that into. So I don't think there's too much of it. I mean, it's obviously a conversational point because these players were so good and perhaps because they didn't quite deliver at international level as players, there's a kind of extra narrative there. I just think it's going to be a mixed bag. They've gone back to the start in terms of their management journey. That just because you're a brilliantly experienced player who's done a lot as a player, really, you're having to start again. And when you start again at a low level, there's problems with that. Like, you know, you've got players who can't do what you could do, maybe don't have the mindset you had. When you go at the very top level and start, the pressure's higher, the players are better, are they going to respect you as much? There's all these different kind of pitfalls. And maybe there's a feeling that a lot of these guys think it should be handed to them. Maybe they're next in line. Maybe it's
they're projecting that on them, though.
Maybe I don't know.
I think that's a fair point.
It's just a jumble of thoughts.
Just to be just very quickly, I think it would be wrong to look at. So, for example, Gerrard taking the Villa job, Rooney getting the Derby County job, as them seeing it as shortcuts.
Yeah.
They get offered these jobs. Yep. They're ambitious. They're going to take them.
Yes. And it doesn't always end badly when people are promoted quickly, you know. But anyway, if you want to hear more chat about England's lack of elite coaches, then we did talk about that on Saturday's Ramble Mailbag, of course. So yes, do have a listen to that if you haven't already. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Mahaba, Anna Stephen Gerrard. Anna El Etifaki, see you soon.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. that was Stephen Gerrard, in case you didn't pick that up.
Trying out his Arabic?
Stephen Gerrard is the same in Arabic as it is in English.
See you soon, by the sound of it. We shouldn't criticise someone for trying to learn a new language.
I'm not criticising him.
Sound like your time was a little bit off.
All right.
Yeah. Back off Habibi Gerrard.
Apologies to Stephen. Right, everybody, to celebrate the start of the new year, we're giving away 3 Toshiba Fire QLED TVs. And we unveiled our first winner yesterday. So we're actually giving away 2 more now.
Yeah.
You see that? That's just maths for
3 minus 1 is 2.
There we are. Still is, always will be. To be in with a chance of winning our second TV, simply listen to the end of the show after the ads and follow Pete Donaldson's instructions. Now, I know that's usually something we would advise against, but do follow Pete's instructions if you want to win a TV. The entries have been reset, so if you've entered already, you'll need to put your name in the hat once more. Please note that it's only UK listeners who are eligible to enter. We'll pick the winner of our second TV on Friday, so do act fast.
As fast as you can.
Fast as you can. Talking of acting fast, everybody, the January transfer window is open.
Yes, it is.
Come on.
What's the big story? What are the big stories? What's the big talking point so far?
Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, a bit, that's a bit of brassle, that.
Reportedly might rejoin Borussia Dortmund on loan this month. He's been training away from the Manchester United first team since September. Dortmund have said they're going to pay, what, a third of his wages, something like that?
I mean, it's pretty big wages.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. That's why I can. It's one of the many, many reasons I could never be a professional footballer, because if I was training on my own for 3 months away from all my teammates, there's loads of it I just wouldn't do.
Yeah.
I'd just skip a load of it, because no one would be watching.
You just boot balls into the net.
I would just be doing shooting. That's what I'd be doing, shooting the whole time.
Can I borrow another youth team goalkeeper, please?
I guess they've been checking on him while they've been bringing him over his personal lunchbox, so he doesn't have to eat with the rest of the first team.
I mean, the situation with Sancho at Manchester United,
it's very poorly managed.
If they were firing on all cylinders, I mean, whatever they were doing, it's very poorly managed, but it's particularly stark.
Can you list the teams that have scored fewer goals in the Premier League this season than Manchester United?
No, loads.
It won't take you long.
Joint third lowest, aren't they?
Yeah,
Sheffield United and Burnley.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's not like he...
Level with Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
So Sancho's probably thinking, whatever I've done can't be that bad.
No.
Also, maybe I should practice shooting.
Yeah, they're getting back in. He'll be firing on all cylinders. So I know you're going to be talking more about Sancho on tomorrow's On the Continent with Dotton, of course. But Andy, your initial thoughts about this?
It is a classic January marriage of convenience all round. Between three
Dortmund fans would be loving it.
Between three desperate parties.
Really?
I think it's fair to say.
Why are Dortmund desperate? They're just not pulling up any trees this season.
Yeah, I mean, they've one win in seven league games to finish 2023. Mm. They're a bit adrift of the top four. They've got no attacking ideas, and they've just brought in two assistants to the head coach rather than firing.
Right. That tells its own story, doesn't it?
So there you go.
Out of the frying pan.
It really needs to work for all three of them.
But I think it seems to me like the kind of thing that would work brilliantly, because he had such a good time there. He's loved there. His numbers were ridiculous. He will have that feeling of getting away from this kind of cloud that's been following him around. I think it will be an amazing move.
You know what? I think that really worked for him the first time. The fact that he was free from that pressure of home, free from that pressure of having to produce as a young English player, that he was able to do amazing things and big numbers, and it was almost, you know, just completely hidden from people in England.
I know. I just my sort of heart weeps for him when you think about how good he was at Dortmund.
Yeah.
To look now, not even that, you know, he hasn't been playing that well for Manchester United. It was a difficult one. Just the fact he's not playing.
I'd say to Ten Hag, better hope that he's the absolute bomb at Dortmund, because if he's good, it's going to make him look even more ridiculous.
Yeah, I do. But I mean,
because Man United fans are going to go, well, what the hell is going on?
But that is the problem, isn't it? Really, I think when we're talking about how Manchester United have played it badly, we'll talk about the Dortmund side as I said on OTC tomorrow. But from the Manchester United angle, whatever he's done, just how can you diminish an asset of value like that? Yeah. I mean, if you were owners who were on the ball.
Yeah,
you'd be furious with Ten Hag. You would step in.
But you have to find a way, because, again, it doesn't seem that much from the outside looking in. Now, obviously, we will probably never know all the details. But, you know, it's like that he repeatedly stuck one on him. Do you know what I mean? Like every morning, Sancho chinned Ten Hag in training. Do you know what I mean? What has gone on here?
And you can't do that.
Not anymore. He's been told before.
Yeah.
Also,
throwing your lunch at him. We brought that to you.
Yeah. What if you're going to get crab paste sandwiches every day for a week? I think the thing is, you've got to look back at the fact we keep being told he's immature, and we're being briefed that he's turned up late. Dortmund, he did that at Dortmund. Mm-hmm. Dortmund found a way to deal with it and make him productive. He's only 23.
It's easy
to forget.
And I think what happens all too readily, and as Marcus says, we're not going to ever know the full details, and I totally agree, but all too readily, I think managers get credit for being quote unquote tough guys and not taking this. And there was a certain amount of house cleaning that needed to be done at United, as we all know. But actually, the hallmark of a great leader and a great man manager is to find a way forward, is to find a path
and
forward.
That whole one rule for everybody is bollocks as well.
Absolutely right.
Exactly.
Of course it is.
Exactly.
And it's never existed.
It may not be flying at the top of the league.
Yeah.
Would the conversation be happening in quite this way? Of course it wouldn't. But the fact is that people are mistrusting of how Ten Hag's dealt with it, partly because they mistrust in how he deals with everything.
And also, you know, you mentioned the value of Sancho thing. The interesting thing I thought was reading about how they can't afford to pay him off because that will affect their FFP. And they also can't afford to get rid of him full stop because they can put his value down for their, for essentially their future profit and loss as per the Premier League relegation, so they're in this incredibly weird bind at the moment.
They are. One club that has been doing a little bit of business in the transfer window, of course, is Tottenham Hotspur, because Hugo Lloris has left.
Yes.
He's gone to Los Angeles FC on a free transfer. I do like it when a player who has had having an amazing career and has been a great servant for the club, and they go to play in the States, particularly in quite a glamorous location like California, think, yeah, you've earned that. Yeah. I know it's not a retirement.
Like when Nicky Butt went to Newcastle, you mean?
A little bit like that.
You've earned that. Good on you. Get yourself over there.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
It's a lovely move. But not just because the fact is that it's a totally different atmosphere, totally different culture. Everything is very, very different. But it's still got the passion and the and all that. And I think it is that new challenge, which is perfect for players, if you see what I mean.
I was also quite happy for him, even though, you know, I'm not a Spurs fan. I've never really been invested in Hugo Lloris. But, you know, he comes on at halftime of Spurs' last home game and, you know, gets presented with something. Essentially, he's able to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And part of the reason he's been able to do that is because Spurs are in a better place now. And the atmosphere around the club is very different because, bear in mind, his last game for Spurs was being dragged off at halftime and then, you know, never playing again. In quite ignominious circumstances, I think it's quite nice he had a nice goodbye.
Agreed, because it's been a really awkward like 6 months or so for him because no one expected him to play for Spurs beyond the summer. And it's a little bit like the goalkeeper market's a bit weird at the moment, isn't it? It's a little bit like what we've seen with David De Gea, for example. Everyone expected Lloris to go, and the clubs who really showed for him like, mainly wanted a second choice. And then you have Maurizio Sarri saying, no, actually, he's too big to not play every game here at Lazio, so I don't want him. So he thought he was at Lazio at one point. So he's been in a very, very awkward position. So I'm glad he's got a suitable move.
Well, and also, I mean, he's 447 appearances for Tottenham
Hotspur. He's a legend at Spurs.
No trophies.
Absolutely.
He's a legend at Spurs. Mm-hmm. It's for, you know, Spurs fans of a better vintage than me to say whether he's their best keeper ever or not, but he's certainly a legend at Spurs. He's a legend at France. Played in two World Cup finals.
Come on, yeah.
You know, he's won the World Cup with France.
And the Nations League.
And there we go. How could we forget that? So I literally did, but how should we forget that? And also, you know, he's also kind of symbolic of a style of goalkeeper that was super modern when he first came through.
Yeah.
And the game's moved on a bit now and it's a little bit different to what it was. But when he came through, he was a really exciting goalkeeper. I think at his best, he's one of the best goalkeepers I've seen. He was brilliant. Absolutely
high praise indeed. I mean,
he was brilliant. Andy, you must agree with that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. It's funny
fantastic.
Because
he's a fantastic servant. And I actually think, and this is maybe a little bit of a sting in the tail for my praise of him and the Spurs context, I actually think it was pretty amazing when he went to Spurs in the first place.
Well, I do agree with that.
Because he could have had a probably, I mean, do you remember, Andy?
Jean-Michel Aulas still cries himself to sleep over that.
He could have had a pick of a, respectfully, a bigger club than Spurs at the time, in my view. But anyway, he's a legend at the club.
But
he's there for a long time.
But you're right.
One of Daniel Levy's best ever deals.
100%.
Yeah, a fantastic servant. And, you know, I sort of joke about it, but he never won a trophy in that time. He obviously played in a Champions League final, but never won a trophy. The fact is, he obviously loved the place because he stayed there for so long. And as Luke says, he could have gone somewhere else. He finally has now, and maybe he will win a trophy at LAFC. I don't know.
Mate, were you saying maybe you'll look back on this time at LAFC more fondly? Is that
I'm glad he's a World Cup winner.
I love to see
and a Nations League.
I love
winner.
The idea of Lloris in LA. He's a handsome guy. He's a sculpted guy.
He'll fit in. Do you think? I think that if you arrive at LAFC, on arrival, you get the greeting and you're just handed a pair of aviators.
I'd love. Well,
it's like they are.
Is he still? He seems to be the kind of guy who's quite snobby about New World wine.
I mean, I was expecting the intro clip to be "Pas de fucking Merlot."
Yeah. This is what he said to that police officer, apparently.
Is that right?
It's not a laughing matter, really.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
You're out of order. You lot.
Yeah. Well, he no more North London wine for him. Let's see how he gets on with the Californian stuff.
Hotbed from one hotbed to another. From one wine hotbed to another. Yeah.
To be fair, Denby's in near Dawkins, not that far away.
Right.
You know, he's a
wasn't
fan of
worth
that.
It wasn't worth it.
Okay. It's a winery. Not that far.
What's Buffon up to? You've got a nice link there. You know goalkeepers.
I was going to talk about Sir Cliff because he did.
Oh, fuck off.
Wait, what?
Sir Cliff, he calls him as well.
We all call him.
Yeah.
He is a knight of the realm.
We all
anyway.
Call him it. All of us in the fan club call him it. When we buy his calendar every year.
I tell you what, he looks great. He's not aged a day.
No, he's not aged a day. I agree with that. He's definitely not aged a day.
Let's talk about Gigi Buffon. From one legendary goalkeeper to another.
There's
ending.
The link.
There we are.
Ages ago.
There we are. It'll be interesting to see if that Cliff stuff makes the edit. Gigi Buffon has suggested the possibility of increasing the size of goals, the actual goals. He said in an interview, players' technique is getting better, but you can see the impact of the goalkeeper's height on long shots. 30 years ago, there were 10 goals for every 50 shots. Today, 3 out of 50. And that's a lot.
Yeah.
As when we were talking about this on the WhatsApp, as Jim said, marvellous stuff, drawbridge up, preserve his records.
I'm done. I don't want any goalkeeper to get a clean sheet ever again. Yeah. Big incredible shout.
Bigger goals, Vish?
No.
As a striker, you'd be up for that.
I mean, it's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just what utter
is it,
nonsense.
What is it about certain storied players and managers who've had like a really good... made almost like an historic imprint on the game, feel like they need to get involved and try and influence it continually.
We're speaking about Van Basten and no offside, aren't
Arsene
we?
Wenger. Yeah. Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger, another one.
So what Buffon, actually, I think Buffon's been very clever here. Because clearly this, when we say he said in an interview, it's obviously a job interview with FIFA. Yeah. What are your ideas? Make the goals bigger? No. You're hired, son.
I think it's an interview with Gary Cook. He's going to be a new Birmingham City manager.
We need bigger goals because we're not scoring.
It always reminds me.
Can we
of
just
that.
Have the bigger goals at one end and then we swap them at half time?
When we see this kind of stuff being talked about, it always reminds me of that Ange Postecoglou quote in the interview at Spurs press conference not that long ago, where he just gets fed up of people asking him all these types of questions. He just goes something along the lines of, "Listen, mate, I think the game's fine as it is.
Just
leave it as it is."
But that's it. He's absolutely right. Like the football, I think people think that football's only been around for about 40 years and we're still honing it. No, it's been around for an awful long time.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the game, is that actually they got it all right quite early.
There is something about a former player going, "Oh, football must be really desolate without me."
Yeah, that's part of it.
How can we make it better?
I mean, what next? Yeah. Romario saying, you know, goals should only count as 0.5. You've got to go score 2 goals for it to count as 1 goal. It's like, come on.
But I think also there's a set against the context. But football is the most popular sport in the world and it's not close. And there's a reason for that.
Exactly.
And the reason for that is its simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And the simplicity, you need to be very, very careful about not preserving that simplicity.
That's what I mean. They know it's like when you have people who are too clever with film narratives. You know, don't they say there's only sort of 7 basic storylines or something like that? People go, "Oh, you know, I'm going to merge some and I'm going to chop a bit off there, and it's awful."
That's why you only like Fast and the Furious films.
Correct.
Right? You know where you are with it.
If it's not directed by whoever does them or Guy Ritchie, no thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I'll have Spielberg at Christmas.
Treat yourself.
There you are.
Yeah. Jurassic Park 2.
It's on The Lost World.
Yeah. You know it. He's on board.
Pete Postlethwaite, come on.
Who? What's his name?
PTP.
Pete Postlethwaite.
Pete Postlethwaite.
Thank you. Pete,
let's talk about something that makes sense. The Argentina FA have announced last week they will be retiring the Argentina men's number 10 shirt when Lionel Messi retires.
This is a mad move. Andy, you said to me, and I thought it's a really...
And we're never going to play again. We've completed it all.
It's a really astute point. You said there's no way they would have done this if Diego was still alive.
No, absolutely
They'd
no
They'd be too
way.
Frightened.
He will come back alive when this happens.
If he had done that when Diego was alive, he'd have got the air rifle out again, wouldn't he? Outside the FA headquarters.
Easily one
tink,
of the...
Tink, yeah. What's that on the window?
Oh, no, he's got a real one. He's just been handed a real one.
I do wonder what Neapolitans would think about this. Bear in mind, I know people complain about like how some teams bring out like 3-4 kits this season. Napoli, by my reckoning, brought out 12 last season, and
wow,
2 of them were El Diego tribute kits.
So they can still do the 10, though.
Yeah,
Oh, and they'll get more sales.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this is mad.
I think it's ridiculous. The president of the Argentine FA, Claudio Tapia, said, "This number 10 will be retired for life in his honour. It's the least we can do for
it's
him."
Bullshit.
It's absolute. It's football politicking.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The Everest of football politics.
100%. Yeah. And what it does, Rich, is it completely misses the point of what football is all about again. Because when you are someone who wears a number 10 shirt for Argentina, there's a reason that's important. Mm. It's not just you. It's Diego. It's Mario Kempes.
Exactly,
it's whoever.
Exactly.
And you are a custodian of it for the next generation. What's the young kid who comes along now?
It's about their dreams, isn't it?
He's dreaming to wear a number 10 shirt. He's never going to be able to.
No, that's right.
I expect this to be, because they're so capricious about this type of stuff, and because, as Vish rightly says, it's football politicking, as soon as someone comes along of Argentina who's brilliant, the decision will be reversed. And they'll make a big thing out of that as well. He's so good. We've brought the number 10 shirt back. And Lionel Messi will do a press conference saying he's happy about it when he's secretly pissed off. Well, and that'll be that.
Yeah, I think retiring numbers, I mean, it's when you say that there's a ceiling, it can't get any better. And that's a shame for a national team. I understand on very, very rare examples.
You shouldn't be doing it for a national team. You should
be doing it for a national team. For a national team, absolutely.
A national team is this something.
Has anyone taken Cristiano Ronaldo's take on this? What's he said?
Oh, my goodness.
He must be lobbying the Portuguese FA right now. Yeah. Probably.
Well, would he?
I want you retired. Seven?
Yeah. I want 17.
Yeah. I want 17.
Yeah. The name, everything.
Well, can you get through this? Because I've got to call Man United next.
No one in Portugal can call their children Cristiano now. It's just not happening. It's actually, madness, absolute madness. I mean, but it's the Argentina FA, you know, so do expect madness. Yeah. Will we see Kanye West wearing an Argentina number 10 shirt anytime soon?
Well, and they retired it.
Yeah.
Well, Kanye West has been spotted on Instagram,
this
for those who haven't seen
stunning.
It, wearing, are there people out there who don't know Kanye West on Instagram are? I presume they've seen it. If they haven't,
I'm now up to speed.
He's been spotted. He's been spotted in the new Fast and the Furious film. No,
is he?
He's on Instagram with photos of himself in really obscure shirts. One of them was a Portsmouth goalkeeper shirt.
That is
like a third choice shirt from like 1997, 98.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Everyone was like, "How has he even got hold of this?" Because they've not even really been sold commercially. Mm-hmm. And he came back to me with a theory, which is,
I reckon he gets them off a hooky Chinese market website.
Yeah, which apparently are very,
but why
very
is he
good
going
quality
for that one?
Yeah. Just the most obscure thing you can find,
big,
right?
Big fan of JMO?
Yeah. Yeah,
probably. That's true. What other ones has he been pictured in? Do you remember?
One was, I can't actually remember. There was definitely at least one other one. It was like a random Irish jersey from like a non-league Irish team or something.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Was that wasn't even a football team, was it?
I don't think it was.
Wasn't it hurling?
It might have been, yeah. So he's obviously got a thing about it.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Well, how about
he might have knocked it up on his sewing machine. got a lot of time on his hands now. He's lost all his endorsements.
Yeah, true. I'll make my own apparel. I don't care.
Right, we're now talking about Kanye West. We've got to go. And maybe we'll talk about that a bit more in Ramble Uncut. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back on Friday for the preview show ahead of the FA Cup third round, of course. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber,
show some fucking respect.
Sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Also, follow us on X, used to be known as Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Luke Moore.
I would retire the whole of X at tribute to Elon Musk.
There's the respect.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vitusha Hantharaja.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy Brown.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, Ramblers, and Happy New Year. We've already given away one 50-inch Toshiba Fire QLED TV, but there are two left. We've also restarted the draw, so it doesn't matter if you'd entered in the last round, you have another shot at a TV, and you'll need to enter again. So to enter, just search lnk.to/ramble competition in your web browser. That's lnk.to/ramble competition. Then pop in your email address, and you are done. Plus, if you sign up to the Football Ramble Patreon, you will be entered twice. We'll be announcing our next winner on Friday, January the 5th. Please note that only UK listeners are eligible to enter.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.